Well, it is very good to see all of you here tonight. I'm really glad to see all of you here this evening. When, they say that they're doing the singing over at Neil on the first Sunday night and our young people are going to Priceville, I began to wonder if it would be me and Addie and Tara this evening for services. Because, you know, our young men and our last leaders group, they do a fantastic job. And I know that a lot of people like to travel to go hear them too. So, but I am glad to see you here this evening. I did want to mention, and I failed to do so with Tony a few moments ago, but I talked to Golly today, and she does ask that you put Mila in your prayer. She did have a little bit of an episode where her heart rate dropped a little bit for a few seconds, and so they are observing her a little bit more, but she has not had any more of those episodes. But she said, if y'all would, please just remember her especially in your prayers this evening. And hopefully if everything checks out, they might even be able to come home tomorrow. So we're thankful for that. And again, continue to be thinking about Miss Debbie. If you have your Bibles and would like to, you can open them to 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. It's a heartbreaking chapter, to be quite honest with you, because it's going to deal with David and his son Absalom. The question is asked there in 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 29, is the young man Absalom safe? Is the young man Absalom safe? Well, in order for us to understand why this question is being asked, we're first going to have to go back and think about what is transpiring now in the kingdom of Israel as David is the king. You find where that Absalom is his son, and you know the story behind Absalom. Absalom has rebelled, really, against his father. Our text, though, when you think about, is the young man Absalom safe, it is the concern of a parent for a child, even when that child has repeatedly mistreated the parent and family and behaved badly. That's what's up. Here is a father expressing concern for a son, and when you think about it, it's a son that really didn't deserve the concern that the father had for him. What we understand is that now Absalom has amassed this following of people in Israel, and he's attempting to oust David from leadership. And so he has taken this group, and they have gone into Jerusalem, and David has had to flee from Jerusalem. So David is now mustering his army, and Absalom and his men, and David and his men are going to have this battle to see who now is going to control the nation of Israel. And so we see this situation, and when David is sending out the folks and preparing his army, he's getting ready to go with them. But the commander of his army, Joab, and Abisha, his brother, and Ittai, the Gittite, who commanded the three groups of David's army, when David is preparing to go out, they said, no, you cannot go out because they don't care about us, but they're going to look for you. And you are worth more than 10,000 of us, so you need to send us relief and help from the city or from some other place. So David says, I will do what you think is best. But he says to them on that occasion, deal well for my sake with the young man. Deal well for my sake. Not for Absalom's sake, because Absalom didn't deserve consideration, to be quite honest with you, when you think about what all that he has done. All of the bad behavior that he has been engaged in. David says, deal gently with him for my sake. Now, let's consider a few examples of Absalom. First of all, we come to understand that he was a murderer. He was a murderer. In 2 Samuel chapter 13, 1 through 36, remember how he slew his brother Amnon because of what Amnon had done to his sister Tamar? I'm not suggesting that Amnon didn't deserve this kind of consequence, but Absalom is the one that took it upon himself to deliver that justice. And so he murdered his brother. So here is a son that's a murderer. We have a son who has dealt hypocritically with his father. He was a subtle man, according to 2 Samuel chapter 15, 1 through 6. He led the people to believe in him. He lied to his father about a vow that he had taken in Hebron in 2 Samuel chapter 15 and verse 7. So here's a guy who is a murderer. And now he is hypocritical with his father and his father's house. You know, you think about this son. After he murders his brother, he flees the land because David doesn't see him for many years. For 3 years, he is living with his grandfather, his maternal grandfather, in another area. And eventually, after 3 years, he comes back, but David doesn't see him again for 2 more years. So for 5 years, he doesn't have anything to do with his son. Son was a murderer. Son dealt hypocritically with his father. Then what else do we find out? The son rebels against his father. He rebels against him. He's going to try to uproot David from being the king. He goes in and he establishes himself in Jerusalem and he takes his father's concubines in front of all of the people so that they know that he is now the guy that's in charge. He rebels against his father. And yet still, David said, deal gently for my sake with the young man. Deal gently. Again, concern of a parent for a child. Even when that child has repeatedly mistreated the parent and behaved badly. And so we understand that this battle doesn't go well for Absalom. Even though David has made this statement in front of the three commanders and everybody else in Israel in the army, they heard David make this statement. We come to understand that in the battle, Absalom had such thick hair that as they were going through the forest, he gets caught in the thicket and suspended in midair. And one of the men of David saw that and went and told Joab. And Joab is upset because the man has not already killed Absalom. But the man even says, I heard the king say, don't touch him. I'm not going to lay my hand on the king's son. And so Joab went and finished the job. And now the report is coming to David about the battle. And he is only concerned about Absalom. You think about that. We've got all of these people that are dying out there. We've got this army that's fighting for him to be put back in power, back in the city where he's reigning or has reigned from for so many years. And when this messenger comes, is the young man Absalom safe? I want to suggest to you, he asked that question way too late. He asked that question way too late. How could he be? How could he be okay? You see, David's interest in Absalom came too late. When it came to how he was going to be raised, what kind of individual he was going to turn out to be. When you think about it, David should have thought about that question when he was selecting a mother for Absalom. Who would be the mother of this child? Well, who was it? Well, his mother was Maacah, daughter of Talmah, king of Geshur, 2 Samuel 3:3. What does that tell you? I'll tell you what that says. She belonged to a heathen people. What had David just done? David had violated God's law in marrying her, according to Deuteronomy 7, 1 through 8, and was prompted more by political ambition than he was by spiritual guidance. He violated that. He should have been thinking about how his child was going to be raised when he was selecting who it is that he was going to make his wife. And we've got to start thinking about those things as well, people. We got to give consideration. I want to share some statistics with you. There was a book written by Bruce Curd, and this book has been written several years ago, but I'll give you some information about it. The Apostle Paul on Marriage. He did some statistics in an Oklahoma congregation. One of the churches kept records of its young people over several years. It was reported that of 70 Christians who married non-Christians, Here were the statistics. 49 left the church and 21 remained faithful. 12 of the faithful have converted their mates and 9 have not. 19 of these marriages have ended in divorce. That's when a Christian marries a non-Christian. Here was the other information. On the other hand, 48 of their young people married Christians with the following results. 45 of those are faithful. 3 have become unfaithful. And 2 ended in divorce. 45 out of 48. On the other hand, 49 out of 70 left the church. You don't think that matters? You don't think it matters who it is that you decide to yoke yourself to in marriage? Absalom was not safe because of the selection of the woman that David chose to have as a wife. David should have thought about that question when looking on Bathsheba with lust. No young man is safe when his father is engaged in matters of this kind. No daughters are safe. No child of fathers who are engaged in this type of behavior are safe. No wonder Absalom was deceitful. What had David done? David had been deceitful in front of all of Israel. When it came to the situation with Uriah and when it came to the situation with Bathsheba. And folks, I want us to understand that your child is not likely to find a father in God until he finds something of God in his father. And if we behave like that, and we think that that example is going to be okay, if this is how we live, let me tell you something. It's not going to be of benefit and a blessing to our children. Is the young man Absalom safe? Oh, I don't know. What kind of daddy do you have? I know there were a lot of good things about David, but this is what Absalom is seeing. He is seeing his father break the commandments of God, do despite the teachings of the law when it comes to who you're going to marry. And he's seeing him violate the Ten Commandments when it comes to the situation with Bathsheba. In fact, if you take a look at it, you just sit down sometime and as a little assignment, start checking off how many of the Ten Commandments David violated in that story. You start violating that and living like that, can you say the young man's safe? Should have thought about that when it came to the behaviors and the sins that he committed before the eyes of his family. What about this? David should have thought about that question when he considered the training of Absalom. The training he should have received. Now, there isn't the least bit of evidence in the Scriptures that David gave time and attention to training Absalom. In fact, we noted a few moments ago that there was a 5-year period where he didn't even see his son. Wouldn't see him. Had nothing to do with it. And like many people, David's time was monopolized by the affairs of state. He had other things going on, like many of us. They get busy in the things of this world, and then we just don't have time for home and family. And the indications are that David did not give training to this young man as he should have in his life. Well, when we think about that, little boy summed it up perfectly when he made this statement. Parents are just babysitters for God. Parents are just babysitters for God. That's what we're supposed to do. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 4. What? Train up a child in the way he should go. When he is old, he will not depart from it. So no example of discipline is given. No example of training is given. So David should have thought about this question when he considered how Absalom was supposed to be raised. Was the young man Absalom safe? Not at all. Not at all. How could he be? He had rebelled against God's anointed. That's the first thing he had done. David was still God's anointed. He was the king. And now he has rebelled against God's anointed. And let me tell you something like that. How can any of our children be okay if they rebel against God's anointed today? How can they be safe? See, nothing can be done now for Absalom. So the question is, for us, is your child safe? Is my child safe? Are our children safe? So let's look at a few things. Is your child safe as long as you are not giving him or her the advantage of a Christian example? Is your child safe as long as you fail to train him or her in the way of the Lord? Is your child safe as long as religion occupies a secondary place in your home? You see, youth ministers and preachers can't work miracles, neither can elders. Not miracle workers. In order for children to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, they've got to have the right kind of examples. Parents that are going to give in to their training. You think about this story, and again, it doesn't end very well, does it, for Absalom? Absalom's men are defeated. Absalom is killed. And David is heartbroken. You know, whenever you think about the situation with David a little bit, it may have been that David saw the punishment of himself in Absalom. Punishment in the sense of suffering the consequences of that. Because you see, David's punishment for the sin he had committed with Bathsheba was fourfold. Nathan brought him this parable of the ewe lamb, and in it David, in anger, says, the guy's going to pay fourfold. David did. What we come to understand is Absalom was the third installment of that. David would pay with four children eventually. He would pay with the son that was going to be born to he and Bathsheba to begin with. He would pay with Amnon when Absalom slew him. And now he's going to pay with Absalom and eventually Adonijah, who Solomon will end up putting to death. David's sins had made life difficult for his children. And now his lament in verse 33. Oh, my son Absalom. My son Absalom. Would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son, my son. This is something for all of us to think about. It's something for parents to consider. How are we raising our children? Are we asking the questions that we need to ask now? Are our children going to be safe? Now, we understand that everybody has an opportunity when they become accountable to make their own decisions. So we know that. But as far as we're concerned, are we going to be the people who set the right example for our children? I know we're not perfect. We're going to make mistakes. But are we going to do everything in our power to show our children, if there is one thing that mom and dad don't want to do, it's we don't want to sin against God. We may, but we don't want to. And we're doing everything in our power not to. Do our children see that? Do they see it when we spend time with them? Do they see us in Bible study? Do they see us in prayer? Do they see us living our lives in a Christian way? We've got to ask ourselves the question. The young man, Absalom, safe. Tonight, we can think about this. Maybe there's something on your heart. Maybe there's something that you'd like to make right with God this evening. The invitation is ready for you. we're going to sing this invitation song. If your heart's not right with God, if your life's not right, if you're not a Christian and you need to become one, we want to beg and plead with you to repent of your sins, confess that you're the Son of God, to be baptized, to wash away those sins. If it's the case that you need to respond because there's some burden on your heart that you need God to help you with, then we're here to assist you while together we stand and sing.